Linda Dunshee, the daughter of Donna Rae Hans, says it was during a lunch date in March 2014 that she realized her mother needed more care than what her stepfather, Henry Rae Hans, could provide. Dunshee, who had power of attorney, says her mother acted confused during the meal and had trouble using the restroom.
I went into the stall, asked her if she needed help, went into the stall with her and helped her button and zip. And I said, okay, let's flush the toilet and let's go wash our hands. And she turned around and she washed her hands in the urine-filled toilet.
That's Dunshee testifying in the sexual assault trial of Henry Rae Hans. KIMT's Levi Ismail and Michael Howell provided IPR with the courtroom audio. Later that month, Mrs. Rae Hans moved to Concord Care Center in Garner. Staff say Donna Rae Hans was confused during simple activities like eating, and her results for cognitive tests were very low. So in May 2014, the nursing home's medical director, Dr. John Brady, told Henry Rae Hans that his wife was no longer capable of consenting to sex.
She had showed severe cognitive impairment. So along with my clinical visits, nurses' statements, and this all in a combined, that's how I made my determination.
Shortly after Dr. Brady made this decision, on May 23, 2014, Henry Rae Hans allegedly had sex with his wife. Rae Hans denies having sex with his wife on this date, but also says Donna Rae Hans desired and initiated sex even after her move to Concord Care. Essentially, the jury is tasked both with determining whether or not the Rae Hans had sex on May 23rd and whether Donna Rae Hans could consent. Dr. Yogesh Shah is director of Des Moines University's memory clinic where he works with dementia patients. He says it's possible Mrs. Rae Hans was able to consent to sex with her husband even in her advanced state of dementia.
That basic instinct of having sex with known person, at least known face, known body, it's a different area of memory. Memory we're talking about is mainly the area of the brain called hippocampus and frontotemporal region. The sexual memory would be coming from the different parts of the brain.
University of Iowa anthropologist Emily Wenzel studies aging and sexuality. She says in American culture, being a full person is often linked to memory.
It's a really common refrain you hear, they're not themselves anymore. They died physically now, but they actually died 5 years ago because they had no memory. However, just because there are cultural stigmas against people with different bodies or cognitive abilities having sex, if they want to have it, they should be allowed. They shouldn't be infantilized. They should be treated like adults.
Wenzel cautions that people with cognitive disabilities are often more vulnerable to sexual assault, but she says there are ways to determine if someone wants sex.
Some care facilities have sexual rights sort of manifestos or practices where they use a whole range of different kinds of processes, including just asking the person and looking at their affect to determine whether someone is consenting.
The charges against Rae Hans, which could lead to a 10-year prison sentence, are similar to statutory rape charges. In Iowa, the general age of consent is 16. Whether someone younger than 16 wants or initiates sex with an adult doesn't matter. Catherine Pearson of Penn State's Dickinson Law specializes in elder law. She says this sexual assault trial is about when yes means yes for people with impaired cognition.
The opinion of the doctor about consent was treated as the end of the conversation rather than the beginning of the conversation. There are very serious implications from a law that will treat an older adult like a child.
Pearson says a civil hearing in which a judge hears from multiple people is a better way to determine whether a person can consent to sex. Right now, it's sort of a legal vacuum.
This case has caused a discussion about, in the same way that we have advanced directives about end-of-life decisions, will we now want or maybe even need a document that gives advanced directions about sexual intimacy?
But as UI anthropologist Emily Wenzel points out, that's a difficult conversation.
So this is a case where parents and children have to discuss sex and aging in the most explicit terms possible. And so culturally speaking, it's not standard, it's not normative, and it creeps people out and makes them very uncomfortable.
Wenzel, as well as Pearson and Shaw, say it's a conversation worth having. Because it's possible that if Donna and Henry Rae Hans had sex on the night in question, it wasn't assault, but an expression of love. For Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Sarah Bowden.